Hi, Josh.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Good to have you in here.
It's nice. I like being here.
It's a nice day.
Yeah. It's a nice morning.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends. That was a heap better than the last
one. Yeah, that was bassy.
Two episodes ago, I went back and listened to that last minute and a half, just of us having peals of laughter. Oh, God.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I did one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life this morning.
What'd you do?
All right, so at the Fligger household, every Saturday and Sunday, that's bacon and eggs day. I make the bacon eggs. Owen loves bacon and eggs, so it's kind of a thing.
I made some waffles and eggs.
Right. Oh, it's just like, you know, it's like a weekend tradition.
What you do when you love food on the weekend.
You sleep in. Yep. I get up. Well, so like a day or two ago, I made these slow braised pork chops.
Oh.
And there was one left over, right? So yesterday, I'm sitting there at lunch, and I was fasting yesterday. I didn't eat, and I'm sitting there at lunchtime, and I'm like, oh, that pork chop's still in the fridge. I'm going to destroy that when I get home. And then I thought, I remember seeing on like a diner menu one time, like eggs and pork chops, you know, like steak and eggs.
Yeah,
where it was like pork chops and eggs. And I always thought, that's an amazing idea. And I just, I'm like, I'm saving that tomorrow morning. I am frying some eggs, and I'm throwing on top of that pork chop. So I got home, and I told my wife, don't give Owen that pork chop. I'm eating it tomorrow. This morning, I woke up. I made some bacon in the oven.
Nice.
Took that pork chop, nuked it for a minute, and then I put two fried eggs right on top of it, and a lump of cottage cheese on the side. And it was one of the best breakfasts I've ever had in my life.
That sounds outrageous.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so porky, so greasy, good.
You know, in North Hollywood, Chandler and Lancashire, where the train station is?
Yeah.
The red line? There, and next to the Orange Line bus, there's a old depot. It was back from the days when there were lots of train lines in Los Angeles. And there's an old depot that they reclaimed for a Groundworks coffee.
Yeah.
They've got the entire length of this depot. You walk in, and you order your coffee and whatever, and you get, you know, one of those poles with a number on top of it, and they bring the food out to you. Then you walk to the other end of the platform, and you sit outside. I think they've got Wi-Fi, and you know, it's fenced in to keep the birds out and stuff. And it's just amazing. It's a great place to sit outside, and they play music, and you get the food brought to you. They've got some surprisingly good stuff.
Really?
Like, yeah, they've got this. It's like a poached egg with braised pork. Pulled pork underneath it. This is amazing. It's really, really good. So that's a fun place to go to get. I don't love the coffee.
Yeah. But, have you ever had a scotch egg?
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, explain
what a scotch egg is.
It's a hard-boiled egg, right?
Hard-boiled egg,
and then
yep.
they cover it in sausage.
Right.
And then
you take sausage and I'm guessing breadcrumbs and
yeah, I think you put like a breading on it.
You mash it together. So it's about like a quarter inch thick.
Yeah.
And then you carpet
yeah,
the outside
exactly.
of the egg.
It looked, by the time you're done, it's like a softball.
And then you deep fry
yes.
that.
And then you serve them cold
with
HP
mustard.
Sauce.
Oh, HP sauce?
Yes.
Oh, HP sauce is the best.
Yeah.
You have a pot pie? Like, you know, lots of vegetarianism going on in my house.
Right.
Like, we'll get some of those Amy's pot pies, uh-huh. those cheddar and broccoli pot pies.
Uh-huh.
You get a little HP sauce going with that?
You know they have it in
Ralph's. That's the shit.
You can get that in Ralph's now.
Not the Ralph's
not all
over
them,
by us, but the Ralph's Fresh Fare over up on Ventura.
Each one's different, but I remember the first time seeing that after being to London, and it's
so
freaked
good.
Out so good.
HP sauce, for the people that don't know, it's like A1 steak sauce.
Better.
But much better. It's creamier.
It's like they took A1 as a base and then took the crappy stuff out and then put a bunch of good stuff in.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really
oh
good.
Oh, my God. It's so.
And you could put it on anything like burgers and in fries. Dip that stuff, dip fries in that stuff. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, God. That just sounds delightful.
Till the rain.
favorite artists ever.
Till the sun falls from the sky.
It's Don Williams.
Till life on earth is through.
He's got a great hat on.
Yeah.
I'll be needing you.
Whatever happened? Remember when cowboy hats with like peacock feathers were cool, like Richard Petty? That needs to come back.
It looked like he has tassels on the front of his. That's bitchy.
His big denim cowboy hat with like a turquoise peacock feather that went above the hat. It was just gigantic. Like, I love Hank Williams Jr.
Wearing.
Yeah, I love that stuff. The 80s. Burt Reynolds. those need to come back.
Yeah, that's almost as good as the blue tuxedo you were talking about. We were talking about in the last episode.
Like a dentist. Oh,
the
brown tuxedo with the ruffles, my friend's tuxedo. Yeah.
It's like the country equivalent of that.
Yeah.
It's great.
This looks like something straight out of a Hee Haw, too. We're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know what it's from. Don Williams died a few months ago and broke my heart because I wanted to see him. He's one of the people I wanted to see live. This is a guy that did Tulsa Time before Clapton did. He's the one that made like Clapton fall in love with that song.
Right.
There's a version of Pete Townsend. Do a couple of versions you can find online. Pete Townsend doing this song.
Really?
One's with, I think, Ron Wood, and the other one's with Eddie Vedder.
Wow.
Them doing this song, Till the Rivers All Run Dry. Yes. It's off the Harmony album. Harmony by Don Williams, one of my favorite albums ever made. And it's pure country like this. So if you hate country, then you'll hate it. But if you if you're open to it, it'll blow you away. But there's something about what he did and that voice that just cut through me.
Even though sometimes I hurt you, still you show me.
I want to start a band, Josh. Country band.
You know, I played in a honky tonk band.
I know,
for
and
like
that's why
years.
I brought this up.
Okay.
I think that we need to start. We need to find somebody that can play the pedal steel.
I had this great guy that was a professor at San Diego State, and he would drive up.
Aztec.
He was a philosophy professor at San Diego State, and he would drive up to Hollywood every time we'd play. And he had
like
he
was, for a night gig.
Yeah, for like at the Mint.
That's a 3-hour drive,
right. And then
at minimum. That
but the best part is when we go on tour, like the drummer, right, was from London, and he was a what do you call it, like a writer? He wrote for he was a freelance writer. He wrote for Rolling Stone, Australia, and he wrote for some music magazines back in
Stringer, they call him if it's sports, I guess, but for stuff like this,
that's what
it's a freelance.
And the singer is now currently the CEO of
Match.com.
Not Match.com. The one where the old guy owned it, and he's like, I've got seven points
eHarmony.
eHarmony, yeah, he's the CEO. Now, and then there's me. Now imagine these van trips through the Southwest. Okay,
oh, God.
And the conversations that we would have were just insane because you got the philosophy professor, a business guy, an English guy, and then there's me, like farting. You know what I mean? It was crazy. Those are really great times. The conversations that we had, you couldn't replicate that. You couldn't replicate
them. That's awesome.
Yeah, so. But anyway, go ahead.
I want to do that. I want to have a band like that.
Yeah.
I want to have a band that not the,
You know, you don't necessarily need a pedal steel. They're great. They're awesome. You just need to find a really good slide player.
Yeah.
Because you want to do that.
You can approximate a lot of that stuff, yeah.
So it's, you want to be a little bit upbeat and, you know what I mean, still have like those, the quick little lines. Our last guitar player was awesome. He ditched his girlfriend who was living with him. He took everything in his car, moved to New Orleans, and changed his name. Oh, some quality people I know.
I hope she's not listening.
She was crazy. She was super crazy. And here's the best part. So he decides he has to get out of this relationship, and they live in a house. Okay. He waits till she like goes to work one day, and he loads everything he has into his car. And right as he's backing out, she pulls in. And he's like, oh shit, what do I do? So he's like, I can't just go because she's behind me. She parked right. So she comes up in the car. She's like, hey, baby, what's going on? He's like, hey, I'm just going to Starbucks. Do you want anything? And she's like, yeah, give me like a double latte, blah, 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 blah. She backs out. He backs out. Takes off. He never sees her again. She calls like the police and they're doing like a search for him. And she finds out, you know, well, they find out, well, did he take all his stuff? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, he's not missing, honey. He left.
That's
and then he changed his name to some, the name he changed it to, I don't want to say it, but
is it a cool, like, stage name?
But like a cool New Orleans, Louisiana stage name. Like
Eddie Lemieux.
Lemieux is in it.
No, it isn't.
And I swear to God.
Of course it was.
No. It's not Lemieux. It's Lemoyer. That's it. I'm not going to say the first name.
Goshaw. Oh, that's one of us.
But yeah, he was a great guitar player. But that dude, he lived in, before her, he lived in a storage facility. He lived in it. But it was a storage facility that somebody turned into a studio. So they had a little room set aside as a vocal booth. So he turned the vocal booth, into his bedroom. And he just threw a mattress on it. And then the other part was literally the size of this studio. And that was like his living room / studio.
Oh,
and we would rehearse. And
you rehearsed in there?
Yeah, we would rehearse in there. And we had full set drums. And he had amps everywhere. He was a big amp geek.
Where did he sleep?
He slept in the vocal booth. That was like, it was like a child's bed, that size of a child's bed. He slept in there. And the facility had a bathroom in it, so he would poop and pee in there. But then he had a Y membership, and he would go over there to shower every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is slipping by.
He delivered the LA weeklies, I think, for cash. But he also did like lessons and stuff like that. But yeah, that guy, man, he was... He was really cool and super sweet and super nice, but it was just like one of those, how did you get to this level? Like, what, you know what I mean? I guess that's somebody that's just not willing to give up the dream.
Bands like that come together, that really is a confluence of all sorts of karma and happenstance.
Yeah.
That, I mean, people of those backgrounds all getting together is incredibly unlikely.
Well, that, I think the Grant Langston is the guy that it's his band. I think they're still playing, but he kind of put us together. And I think his idea was, at the time, he was playing like a little bit more of a pop country type thing. And he wasn't even really calling it country. He was just kind of calling it like pop rock. And I think his goal was, because we morphed. We went from like kind of this pop rocky thing to all of a sudden into this really honky tonk, you know, whiskey drinking, you know, type band. And I think his goal was to get all these musicians that didn't have a country background so they could add their twist on it.
Ah,
you know what I mean? To be like, let's play it, but you didn't grow up playing it. So now it's a fresh take on it.
And
so,
for people that don't know, it's like, I know I've never been in a band in my life, but, like when Eric Clapton came to Oklahoma to try to learn how to play a shuffle for, you know, songs like Lay Down Sally and stuff.
Right.
He couldn't get it at first because he comes from an English background and he heard all these R&B records, but that ain't how you play an Oklahoma shuffle. And
right.
You know, they like, no, it's a little bit more like, you know, and he had to slowly adjust to it. So it's cool that they just let everybody come in and do their own thing. Hold on a second.
When I was in school, I ran with a kid down the street.
Don Williams again, good old boys like me. One of my favorite songs ever.
And I watched him burn himself up on bourbon and speed.
It's my life story.
But I was smarter than most, and I could choose. Learn to talk like the man on the 6 o'clock news. When I was 18, Lord, I hit the road. But it really doesn't matter how far I go. I can still hear the soft southern winds in the live oak trees. And those Williams boys, they still mean a lot to me. Hank in Tennessee, I guess we're all gonna be what we're gonna be. So what do you do with good old boys like me?
Man, what happened to Great Country? Remember this this stuff in the in the 70s?
80s happened.
70s, you had him, you had Merle Haggard, you had
Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings, George Jones was even still knocking around.
Willie Nelson.
Yeah, my God. And then, you know, people like this who wrote songs that were just well-crafted songs. And now everything's rock and roll
happened.
With
the 80s happened, and it kind of it seemed it like hit its apex like right at like 1981. You know what I mean? And then after Smoking the Bandit, it all went down the hill. Smoking the Bandit part, not part two, because part two was it was passable. Part three.
Yeah,
that was the worst one. Dude. Remember, that's the one with Jackie Gleason is the bandit.
Oh right,
remember?
I with my screenwriting partner. I wrote a script years ago. It's called Burt Reynolds Awesome. And it's imagine like a kid who at 8 years old sees Smokey and the Bandit and thinks it's a documentary. Thinks it's a how-to, a manual.
I'll have
on
Diablo
how
to sandwich and a Dr. Pepper. Make it snappy. I'm in a damn hurry. Hello, pretty lady.
Oh, God.
Love that movie.
It's so racist and so awful. You go back and watch it now.
Remind me when I get home to punch your mother in the mouth. We had in that... In that band that I played in, we had a song called Burt Reynolds Movie Brawl. It was just every 80s movie has that one kind of, you know, all of a sudden Burt Reynolds laughs and then a beer mug flies across and everybody's fighting and somebody's head goes into the jukebox.
wearing a football helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember when I was, I guess, 9 years old or something, 9 or 10, WWIRE in Indianapolis, AM news and country station, I guess. They were giving away tickets, excuse me, to Hooper. And they said, call now, you know, whatever. And I picked up the phone and I called. I got in. I won the radio contest. And the guy's like...
And you're like, I have to work in radio now.
Yeah. And the guy's like, what do you say? I'm like, thank you. He's like, no, the word you're supposed to say. Thank you very much.
He's like, didn't know the
no,
word.
Say Hooper. Oh, Hooper. I remember my sister Katie took me to see this. It was
I've never heard of that movie.
Hooper?
Is it a Burt Reynolds movie?
Oh God, yes.
Is it
Hooper with Jan Michael Vincent, and he's a stuntman, and they work out a
is
button.
It a comedy? Or well, is it like action, the comedy, like a Smoking the Bandit thing?
Yeah, like Cannonball Run kind of Smoking the Bandit. And they work out a nitrous oxide rocket for this. He's supposed to jump a canyon or something with it. And so it's flipping on that that button and pew, off you go.
What was the movie he's in with Lonnie Anderson that he was a NASCAR driver?
Oh. Stroke Race.
I love that movie. That movie, I remember in the 80s, that was like on HBO all the time. And then here's one of my personal favorites. Do you remember this? Six Pack with Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
I gotta go shake the dew off my lily.
Love will turn you around. Turn you around. I gotta find that song right now. I totally have to find
that song.
Oh,
anyways, Kenny Rogers was like a NASCAR driver, and then he like inherited like a family or something, like six kids, and that's when all the mayhem starts because he doesn't want to be a dad, and he's Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Then he learns to love the kids.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
He's the gambler. Is it the end credits? Remember it?
Oh, yes. Do you remember the song that the girl they sang inside the
You can run, you can hide, RV?
Huh.
They did like a Partridge Family thing, and all the kids sang, and it was like some like West Virginia song or something.
This is a good song.
I know. I forgot about it.
Like that mandolin.
Yep.
Right when a man's doing all that he planned, and he thinks he's got just what he needs, life will deliver a shot that will shiver him, driving him down to his knees. Make him start living again.
At least play the hook.
Yeah. Six pack, look it up.
Well, it's your mind that tricks you into leaving every time.
Good pre-chorus.
Love will turn you around, turn you around.
That's so good!
Well, it's your heart.
Does it say what year this is?
No.
It's got to be 1982. 81, 82.
I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to hit something to stop it. 1982.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
How did we get on that? Oh, anyway. So that was my first. Yeah, I won tickets to go see Hooper. And that was... That was kind of the beginning of thinking that radio was
really?
Cool, I think.
I don't think I've ever called in to try to win anything on a radio station. I used to call in and request songs.
Yeah.
But I never called in to try to win anything.
I don't think I ever tried to request a song. I don't think I ever did in my life.
I did. I used to always call WDVE in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania and say, hey, man, play me some Stevie Ray Vaughan. They'd be like, okay, John. And she, I forget her name. She'd be like, and they would record the call, right? And then play it like 10 minutes later. And then they'd be like, this is going out to Josh and Butler at Serena's Pizza. You know, just a little pride and joy from Stevie Ray Vaughan.
That's awesome.
And my brother would just be sitting there shaking his head, looking at me like, you're such a putz.
Oh, God. Man, Kenny Rogers, another one. Eddie Rabbit. I Love a Rainy Night.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? The windshield wiper, slapping out of tempo. I'm driving my life away.
Yeah.
That stuff was so... good. Yeah. And then everything just took
I forgot about that song.
Everything just took a
I think what happened is when the song Elvira came out is when everything died.
Oak Ridge Boys?
Yeah.
I like some of the other Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah, but
Boys
remember
stuff,
but that how big that song was that summer?
It was
just like everywhere. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Elvira. Elvira.
How do you come down on country rock, like the Charlie Daniels bands of the world.
We covered Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I know every word of The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
When we played that song, the place went nuts. That was usually like the last song we'd play before an encore.
I know every word to The Devil Went Down to Georgia. If I hear the song, I'll know every word to
right.
Uneasy Rider.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Uh-uh.
I was taking a trip out to L.A., tooling along in my Chevrolet, toking on a number and digging on the radio. Just as soon as I crossed that Mississippi line, I heard that right rear wheel starting to whine. I heard the tire starting to whine. I knew that left rear tire was about to go. He pulls into this place, and it's Jackson, Mississippi or whatever, and it's a whole bunch of people with green teeth, if they had teeth, and he has long hair, and he's not exactly welcome there. Oh, God, it's great.
So I'm out with this band one time. I was just telling this story to, I don't know who I was with, but we were touring the Southwest, and we stop in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
And did you suffer the consequences?
And we were pulled in for lunch, right? And we stop in this diner, and it was like a double-wide trailer that they converted into a diner. And we all, like, at that time, I had crazy big hair, mutton chops, you know, and I'm wearing like an AC/DC t-shirt. Everybody, we looked like a band. And this place was the scariest place I'd ever been in my entire life. There was people like eating like fried chicken and drinking a Budweiser and smoking cigarettes in their NASCAR shirt with their mullets down to their middle of their back, and they're just staring at us.
Sometimes you can hear them. Other times you can't. All those same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man?
It's exactly what it was. Like, as soon as we walked in, it was like you just hear the needle rip off the record. Like,
that's awesome. Let's see if I can find this. Oh, good. Bye.
I was taking a trip out to L.A., tooling along in my Chevrolet, talking on the number and digging on the radio.
Isn't that awesome?
Just as I crossed the Mississippi line, I heard that highway start to whine, and I knew that left rear tire was about to go. Well, the spare was flat, and I got up tight, cause there wasn't a filling station in sight, so I just limped on down the shoulder on the rim.
I can listen to him talk forever.
I went as far as I could, and when I stopped the car, it was right in front of this little bar, kind of a redneck-looking joint called the Dewdrop Inn.
Is this before Devil Went Down Georgia?
Well, I stuffed my hair up under my
after,
hat
I think.
And told the bartender that I had a flat, and would he be kind enough to give me change for a one? Well, there was one thing I was sure proud to see. There wasn't a soul in the place except for him and me, and he just looked disgusted and
pointed toward the telephone.
I called up a station down the road a ways, and he said
he wasn't very busy today,
and he could have somebody there in just about 10 minutes or so. He said, now you just stay right where you are, and I didn't bother to tell the darn fool that I sure as hell didn't have any place else to go.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that, and yeah, Devil Went Down to Georgia, my God. I can only imagine playing that in a band. Did you have a fiddle?
No, the way we did it is...
How do you play Devil Went Down to Georgia without a fiddle?
Okay, so because it's two solos, right?
Right.
Remember, there's the devil solo, and then there's...
Right.
So the devil solo, what... Well, I would play the bass part. Yeah, I would play the piano part. So I'd do that. Then the singer, because he was also playing guitar, would grab a beer bottle and put it on the strings and go... And then make like these crazy devil sounds because that's the devil solo, right?
Sure, yeah.
And then when he'd finish that off, we go dun 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 dun, and then he says a verse for Johnny,
right?
And then the guitar player would play like some shredding solo, and then we, yeah, that was how the solo.
The guitar player
played the fiddle part, but there was no fiddle player, but it was
that's pretty good.
It was crazy. It was awesome. And Grant used a beer bottle every single time. You could just see people like, oh my God, that's so cool. And he'd throw it, and it would almost always land somewhere over him. I think he intentionally threw it at me almost every single time.
Oh God, that's so great.
He'd grab my beer bottle and there'd still be beer in it, so I'd have to hurry up and run and grab it back off him when he was done. We were like this loosely run, well-oiled machine. We made it look like we were making shit up as it going along, but most of it was kind of, we knew what was happening.
I have a song from, I want to say it's like 75. Is that right? I don't know exactly what year it's from. From Bert Sugarman's The Midnight Special, this version.
We're Dr. Hook. I hope we can stay up to see this.
Soundstone.
Uh-huh. This song's great. Dr. Hook, when you're in love with a beautiful woman.
There's a guy, I have to describe it, there's a guy wearing a vest, right?
Yeah.
Like a suit vest.
Playing
a
maracas?
Cowboy, like it's the 70s cowboy hat, he's got double maracas in both hands.
It's great.
You couldn't pull that off today.
No. You know it's hard.
Oh, this is great.
This is one of the greatest songs ever.
Everybody wants her.
And the Maraca guy is just there.
Yeah.
He's not even behind a mic.
He's got an eye patch.
He does. He totally has an eye patch.
Like, I remember listening
to this. I want to party with him. That's the guy I pull off after the show and be like, let's go, we're getting some beers.
I used to have a bicycle, you know, with a banana seat.
Yeah. I had a Huffy with a banana seat.
Yeah, Huffy with a banana seat. That's what I had. And
was it brown?
No, it was a green seat.
No, mine was the uncoolest color of for a boy's bike. It was like the frame was tan and the bike was and the seat was brown.
No, the frame was brown, but the seat was green.
Oh, okay.
And you know, for Christmas one year, or maybe it was my birthday, I got what I wanted, a radio to go on the handlebars.
Oh.
So you bolted it on there.
Yeah. Wait, was it designed for a bike?
Yeah, okay. It had clamps, so you could clamp it on there. Right. And I think you could only pick up AM stations at that point.
It takes like 9D batteries.
Because it was like, you know, it was like 1976 or whatever. Right. So I remember listening to like WIFE, WIRE in Indianapolis, and AM radio then, man, would play anything. Uh-huh. They'd play, you know, the Heart followed by this.
Right.
And so I remember hearing this song on WIRE in Indianapolis. The maracas,
the eye patch, and a cowboy hat, and a vest. and you like, and he's just dancing around like he barely sings backups, but he's all over the stage and he's just rocking those maracas.
That's gonna be my new look. That's what I'm gonna.
When you're in love with a beautiful. All right, like, so do you think what's his sell to get into this band? He's like, listen, guys, what you need, you guys are just like, you're just looking like a white kind of soul band. You need something else moving around. And I got these sweet maracas. And they're just going to waste over here. What do you think? What, am I in or what? Let's just try this. And they like went and rehearsed. And
I don't
like,
know. Wait, hold on. Do you have an eye patch?
Well, now you say, bring that up. I do. And I notice nobody is wearing a hat or a vest. Can I call dibs on that?
So good. It's so good. Yeah, man. What happened to music?
Yeah. The 70s were awesome.
They
and
really
I mean,
were.
I was only 5 by the time it was over, but I still think the 70s kind of bled into the early 80s a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a hangover.
Right.
There was a sweet love hangover.
Yeah, I want to say like 83 is really when the 80s kicked in.
Yeah, when New Wave completely took over.
No.
And there's something to be said for New Wave. Man, I'm a big fan of... like the Cars, for example.
Would you what do you consider Devo? Are they new wave?
Yeah,
or are they like new wave punk or something? Punk pop.
They were like I put Devo more in the Talking Heads column. You know, with avant garde new
that
wave.
That was the very first cassette that I owned. Was a Devo.
Devo,
album.
Really?
Hello, we are Devo. We would like to say things go both ways. New ideas, stupid moves. Nightmares and dreams come true. Yeah, I love that. I listen to that all the time.
That's great. Yeah, those guys were amazing. And them and Blondie and Talking Heads and B-52s, and they were just came around and were doing stuff in a different way. You know, John Lennon.
Yeah, no, I don't know him personally.
Right before he died, he was asked, you know, what music he was like. He's like, you know, I like... This Rock Lobster song by B-52s.
Rock Lobster!
Rock Lobster! Rock Lobster! There's a lobster!
I can't, that's song
in
just,
the sea!
It's just too much for me.
I interviewed those guys.
Yeah.
Fred Schneider and Cindy Wilson. And but it dawned on me why John Lennon would have liked it. It imagine Yoko Ono and him singing those songs that could have pulled it off. That what the B-52s were doing was taking unconventional voices
right.
and putting them together and playing interesting, fun music.
But,
and
I would think, like in John Lennon's kind of the way he would look at it, I mean, think about all that he's done in his life. He's got it, like anything that's avant-garde has got to be new to him. You know what I mean? He's got to do it's something different than the same things that he's doing all the time. So I can see how somebody like that would be like, this is great because it's new to him. I mean, he's John Lennon. Look at his body of work. He doesn't really have, you know, he's done so much great stuff that it's like, I need something that's slightly different from the norm just to get my rocks off.
This is a piece called Cambridge 1969.
Like this?
Is she feeding back?
Oh, his guitar's feeding back.
Oh.
She's making his guitar feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her singing made his guitar
vibrate in the key of suck.
This is 27 minutes long.
No, okay. Now you listen to this, right? The B-52s are going to sound like Mozart. Afterwards. Can you imagine looking into your eyes when this is happening? She's like, what are you doing? Stop. Right, how did we get from sick Kenny Rogers six pack to this?
Ask me nicely.
Please stop.
All right.
Please. On behalf of every single listener we have, I'm begging you to stop.
That is completely disruptive.
Oh, it's just garbage. It's just garbage.
That's hard. I wonder what the point I'm supposed to get from that is.
I think he had created so much amazing art that he didn't know what was good art anymore. You know what I mean? It's like if you eat filet every single day, you're going to be like, I'm dying for a Whopper.
No, I think that he was in love with her, genuinely.
Yeah.
And he wanted to find a way to include her in his art. But and make
she
art
was
with her
own artist. She was a...
Right.
Just stay over there.
But they wanted to do it together, just like Paul wanted to do it with Linda.
Well, you know what? He should have said, like, listen, I'm not going to paint shit, and I'm not going to make sculptures and shit. You stay away from my guitars. Right? Stay away from the mic. That's like, we got to draw a line here.
You know what? I had a chip on my shoulder about Yoko Ono for a long time.
Yeah.
I think there are people who blame her for the breakup with the Beatles. I think there are people who listened to Cambridge 1969 and didn't care for it. I think there are people who listened to songs like, you know, Kiss, 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 Kiss Me Now, Tante, and didn't love it. And I can validate a lot of that. That was where I was. I heard, I don't know, it was like 8 or 9 years ago, that she had an art installation in New York at the Museum of Contemporary Art.
Right.
And one of the things was this room that was just a box of a room.
Right.
It was white.
Yes.
White walls.
This is how they met.
White ceiling.
I think.
No.
Okay.
That's 1967 or whatever. Right. 68. this was 67, I guess. But no, this is like 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And she has this installation, art installation at MoCA in New York, and it's a white box of a room, and there is a telephone, a white telephone on a white table and a white chair next to it. That's it. But the phone is actually live, and she's the only one that has the number, and throughout the day, periodically, she'd pick up the phone and call that number. And you picked it up, you got to talk to Yoko Ono for a while.
I don't think I would even, I'd be like, leave a voicemail. I don't want to talk to you. I have nothing to say to you.
I'm sorry, if you were trying to reach Josh Flynn, I can't be available right now.
Did you ever hear John Lennon tell a story how they met at one of her, where
yes.
he climbed up the
yes.
ladder? I thought that yes. was kind of a cool
it,
little
it is.
Thing.
He said, you know, you climb a ladder, it was a ladder.
Same concept, like white room.
Right.
With a ladder just in it.
A ladder up there, and up at the top of the ladder, right next to the ceiling, is a magnifying glass and a teeny tiny little piece of paper. And if you have to take the magnifying glass to read it, and if you go up there and you look at it, it says, yes.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, if I'd gone up there and it said, no, that's a, you know, like the joke's on you,
right,
like
right.
Something in your trousers, you know. he actually made a joke like that. He's like, you know, if it would have been something stupid or negative,
right.
but it was something positive, it's like, oh, I'm rewarded for what I just did,
yeah.
for the trip that I just took. Yeah, yeah
I thought that was cool. That's probably the best thing she's ever done.
Those two things.
She just stopped right there and just immediately, somebody should have grabbed John and run.
Those two things, the best things she's ever done. Well, why don't we end on Yoko? Can we just do that?
Is it still going?
There's 27 minutes long.
Now, this is live?
Well,
I mean, is this a show?
No, this is an album.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is this a recorded album from a show?
No, this is, they did this, recorded this in the studio.
This is studio work.
Well, I think so anyway. I mean, she announces what the song is and so forth, but you don't hear a crowd. I think this is in the studio.
Maybe it was live, but everybody's just like, I'm not clapping over that shit.
Everybody walked out by then.
Everybody's just uncomfortably staring at each other.
Well, the thing
Let's
I didn't
not
get,
end on that. Can we do something
some
good?
Some of the shit they did was like, you know, bagism stuff. Like they pulled up to Speaker's Corner.
Bagism.
And
what's bagism?
Well, that's what they, and everybody's talking about bagism. Bagism was this movement that they started after the bed-ins where... like they would be inside a huge white paper bag, and they would talk to people.
I remember that. I know
through
what
that.
You're talking
and
about.
Their idea was, if you take
How
away
high, do you think they got if, every single day? They had to. They had to just woken up and been like, get this stuff from Vietnam. Just smoke this until we can't see, and then we're gonna get in a bag and go talk to. The press about Vietnam War.
Their idea was that if you take the celebrity away from it, mm-hmm. then you can talk right. about the substantive issues and you know and do something that's important.
I'm gonna start doing that in this podcast. I'm totally my life will now revolve around bagism.
How about this?
I'm gonna do like a Ralph's bag.
I just scrolled down in the feed, and this is about 12 songs down.
This song.
Little Ugly Kid Joe.
This is like, I'm going to take a guess, 1997. 97, 96.
1991.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're right. 91. Okay, everybody. Go watch this video on YouTube. The guy's just, one of the guys just running around the ocean playing guitar.
Yeah, which is a real electric hazard.
Yeah.
It's electrocution hazard.
A lot of combat boots and shorts.
there is. Yeah, go watch that, and then watch Jackal with a Y.
The chainsaw song. Nice.
Hey Josh, it's been a hoot to be with you today.
Fun times.
I want to say something about some of the stuff that we've been playing on here today.
Yeah.
And specifically, I want to say,
what do you have to say?
That any copyrighted material remains a sole property of the copyright holder and appears only for scholarship, criticism, news reporting, parody, or satire.
And that came straight from the top of your head.
It did. And, he's Josh Fligger.
I am.
We should have said this at the top.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Andy Chanley, Larry Morgan, and Sam Farmer.
If you have any comments.
Larry Morgan and Sam Farmer are on assignment.
Sorry, guys. That's my bad. How about we just re-edit that into the beginning? You can cut and paste that, can't you?
That sounds like work.
All right. If you got any comments on the show or you want to just say, hey, Josh, I like you. You can reach me
hey, Josh,
at joshuajfligger@gmail.com. I'm looking forward to your correspondence.
And I'm on Twitter, Andy_Chanley. Sam Farmer's L.A. Times Farmer.
He's in either Pittsburgh or Philadelphia.
I thought he was in Minnesota.
He's in Philadelphia today for the Eagles game and then Pittsburgh tomorrow. What a life. That guy.
So pretty.
Do you know Ugly Kid Joe?
No.
You know
why would I ever commit that to memory?
Chainsaw song? Let me hear you play some Yoko Ono. You know, that literally sounds exactly like my fire alarm. It sounds exactly like my fire alarm.
When... The people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast, where your artificial friends. Now that, my friends, that's art.